And welcome back to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me this morning we have Carolyn Jones back. She is president and founder of Kind to Kids. Welcome back, Carolyn. Hi there.
Thank you, Laura. I'm happy to be here.
It's a difficult time for everybody right now, but especially for kids that are dealing with foster care, dealing with the courts. And you want to talk about, let's get started, obviously, with what is Kind to Kids?
Sure. So Kind to Kids Foundation serves Delaware children in foster care, poverty, and at-risk teens. And we're especially focusing on children in foster care during this difficult time of the pandemic because they are impacted disproportionately. It's a tremendous, difficult time for children who are coming from dysfunctional homes. They've been abused. They've been neglected. And the world is turned upside down.
How long, talk a little bit about how it was founded, because I just love this whole story about you and your family.
Oh, thank you. We were actually at an area sports event, and there were a lot of empty seats, and our children knew that I worked as an advocate, a court advocate for children in foster care, and I had shared with them their trials and how difficult it was to be in foster care and what they had endured. And there were a lot of empty seats at the venue, and they said, geez, the kids would love to go to events like this. Why can't we find a way to make it happen? And at first, my husband and I were like, well, it's not that easy. You know, there's a lot of things that go into something like that. And it was Chris and Catherine. They're like, well, why not? Let's just make it happen. And honestly, it was their persistence and focus on it that created Kind to Kids, because we're like, you know what? They're right. Why don't we see if we can do something about this? And that's how it started. We started out giving events to children in foster care, and we went to all the area venues and we said, listen, if you have empty seats, even if it's last minute, can you give them to us and we'll give them to children in foster care and foster families. And we started a nonprofit fund. Everybody we went to said yes. They were like, we've been waiting for an organization like yours. So it was just like a win-win, really. I mean, they were happy to give to the community, and we were grateful to get the tickets to serve the families. And honestly, the kids got to experience so many joyful things in life that they otherwise couldn't. They'd go to a ball game and hear the crack of a bat, you know, or a musical performance or a beautiful theater experience. And it really like broadened their horizons to the world around them and showed them their place in the world. And as I mentioned, it was like a win-win for the community as well.
And it's a shared cultural experience, too. Every kid should be exposed to the arts and to sports. And it's wonderful that you were able to do this. But you have grown so over the years, because today it's not just foster kids getting a shared experience. It's making sure that kids have an opportunity to graduate high school. It's working with so many different other organizations. So how did you start to evolve into the real service provider that you are?
Oh, thanks. Yes, that's exactly what happened, Laura. So we started giving these events, and then the more we interacted with the children, we realized they were lacking skill sets. And, you know, I personally worked with a young boy who aged out of the foster care system. And I was kind of so worried about him because I felt like he was unprepared for life. And so then we wanted to create a life skills program to make sure that when kids went through our program, we knew that they understood how to have a healthy relationship, how to persevere, how to make healthy decisions for a successful life. And then it was practical skills, like how to open a bank account and how to budget your money and pay your taxes and how to negotiate the public transportation system. Things that if you grew up in a stable home, you take for granted, or you also know, like, you can call mom and be like, what do I do with this landlord? You know, he's not fixing something or a problem. You can always have that resource to call. But these children often don't have any family support. So without some guidance, things can go bad fast.
That is so true. I hear it so often that children, the high-risk children like this, a kid without that self-reliance, a kid who doesn't have a support system is so vulnerable to everything, bad choices, sexually, health, you name it, they fall prey and they're victimized.
Exactly. So if you give them those preventative skills up front, you prevent so many problems down the line, and you give them those red flags that they think about, like, wait a minute, you know, this is not something, this was one of those indicators they said to watch out for, or no, a healthy relationship, someone doesn't hit me. So they learn to reach it. They learn to identify problems, and they also learn to reach out, because that's a huge aspect of someone who's successful, to know when you need help. To reach out and get it.
How many?
And then we also expanded to, so we had the life skills programs that served socio-emotional skills that taught those skills in a cognitive behavioral way. So we teach children the way you think impacts the way you feel, and then it impacts your actions. So if you think someone is hurting you, you're going to feel a certain way and then act a certain way. So, and it got, that goes through so many things in life. So after we did that, we became aware that foster children graduate from high school at a much lower rate than their peers. The national average is 54%. And Delaware strives to reach that goal as well. And that is a really alarming statistic when you realize that if you've got, you know, 100 kids, half of them aren't going to graduate, and they don't graduate and they don't have a family to support them. They don't have, how do they get a job without a high school graduation? So they can lead very difficult lives without this support.
It's self-perpetuating.
Yes.
The system that got them there to begin with.
Right. I mean, and the system does the best it can, but it's so complicated and multi-layered that you really need a program like our UGrad program to help the children through the system, to help them with their education. So this program focuses on a foster child's education in a holistic way, because the issues for children in foster care are as varied as the number of children that are in care. So you may have one child who's having difficulty in school and all of a sudden who's not showing up in her Zoom lessons or going to school or paying attention. And it's because she said that she just found out her grandmother's in the hospital with COVID. Or you may have another boy, Billy, who's not paying attention because he just found out his mom was in a drug rehab program and walked off. So these children lead lives that have a lot. They have a lot to deal with. There's a lot on their plate. And you need trauma-informed people to work with them and give them the support that they need. And we find that it's in the consistency, it's in the hard work, the hard day-to-day being there and letting them know, I care about you, I want to help you, I'm listening to you. And honestly, that makes all the difference.
You just described the path towards a resilient child, the trusted adult that can say, I care, I'm listening, and I am there for you.
Yes.
But now this goes across. It's not just foster children who are struggling right now, but a foster kid, especially when you're not sure where you're going to be in 1 month, when you're not sure where you will be the following year, it is hard to concentrate or to make an effort in a program or in a school class. Do you want to jump in there and wrestle that? Because I also alluded to kids in poverty face the same problems, not knowing where you will be next year or will you have a home next week?
Right. So it's a dual approach because you have to address the crisis, right? You have to address, you know, where you are right now, where the child is right now, and be there for them in that. And then also provide a vision for their future. And that gives them hope that tomorrow is a better day and that someone's here for me and somebody cares. So with that dual approach, you can get them to focus on moving forward. And that depends actually where they are. And it's true for all of us as adults, even going through COVID. I mean, sometimes I feel like all I can do is put one foot in front of the other. And then another day I can plan 5 years down the road. But it's like, you know, it's a roller coaster. And we working as hard as we can to manage this difficult time. So we understand the stressors. We understand the trauma that the kids have endured, and we work with them to move forward and give them the support to negotiate this difficult time.
We're close enough to the halfway point. I'm going to say that this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today is Carolyn Jones. She is the president and founder of the Kind to Kids Foundation, and you can find them at kindtokids.org, kindtokids.org. Let's be proactive and talk about ways we can help instead of talking about the situation. But first, let's describe the situation. Can you talk a little bit about the state of the kid in Delaware? How are we looking at more foster kids? Are we looking at more at-risk children, kids in poverty? Do you want to talk about where we are? And then let's talk about the things that you're doing to address that, you and your fabulous partners.
Oh, thank you. So right now, there's approximately 650 children in foster care, and that number varies. Right now, the number has dropped a little bit because the children are not in school in the way that they traditionally are. And without kids in the school system, there's not those eyes on them day to day that a teacher notices that little Tyrone hasn't eaten, or that Mary is wearing the same clothes for the last 3 days. So those indicators of child abuse may not be seen, but the children are there, and we work to, you know, educate the community and make people aware to reach out. So we work with the children, Kind to Kids, in a multitude of ways through the entire spectrum of their ages. So we help them with toys for the holidays, for toys and gifts for birthday events, and also with our as they come into the foster care program, we have the My Blue Duffel program. It's an emergency care kit to give love and comfort during which may be the most traumatic time of their young lives. And also with the life events that we talked about, the Give Joy events. So those are our support services. And of course, the two education programs that I talked about, the UGRAD for children in foster care in middle and high school, and our life skills program for children in poverty and in foster care group homes. So we, and we also actually now help children at risk in teens who are in the detention centers, because they have many of the same issues. If they don't have the support at home, they make poor decisions, and which can lead to violence or breaking and entering or things of that nature. So we try and step in right away and teach those decision-making skills and how to create a healthy decision-making process.
Who do you work with, obviously, the court systems, and for children in crisis, the My Blue Duffel. I know that those go out even to police and fire and emergency responders when there's a kid in a crisis situation. But now, how do children get under your umbrella, or how do you find out about them? Who do you work with throughout the year?
Yes, so we have multiple community partners. So we work very closely with Delaware's Division of Family Services. And that division, you know, they work hard. They're on the front lines, as are we. But they will get the children, investigate them, and bring them into foster care. So we partner with them. So we find out when a child's in foster care. We deliver our duffels to all the foster care services, all their offices throughout the state, to give them emergency care kits. And then we expanded to hospital emergency rooms because they will see children when they come into care with broken bones or terrible things that happen to the children. So they are so grateful also for the duffels. And then police as well, domestic violence situations or trauma. And firefighters as well. If there's a car accident and a child in the back seat needs to be distracted, an ambulance comes, and you know, painful things like that. We also provide to the FBI. So the more the community hears about our services and what we have to offer, it enables us to help more children. So that's how we help with the My Blue Duffel, and we connect with our community.
Oh, you know what? Explain real quick what a My Blue Duffel is, because, of course, COVID knocked the big event out that you do every year where you make those suckers. So just explain what a My Blue Duffel is.
Yeah. So a My Blue Duffel, it is a blue duffel, and it's got a beautiful teddy bear in it. It's got a warm fleece hand-tied blanket. It has coloring book and crayons for the little ones. It has a journal with colored pencils for the teens, and toiletries and warm fuzzy socks. And it's just like a comfort and kit for a child when they're being removed and they're scared. We had one social worker, she called me and she goes, "I can't tell you how much that helped me." She had to take a little 3-year-old girl out of her home in the middle of the night. They got a hotline call. Mom had a drug abuse situation. And the little girl was terrified. She had no idea what was going on. And she was crying and scared. And the social worker said, and then I took that beautiful blue duffel and I could give her that little teddy bear. And they put the blanket around her little legs while we drove to her foster home. And she held on to that and the coloring book and crayons. So it provides a message of love and caring at a time when they need it, because it's something that we can do as a nonprofit, right? It's not appropriate for state to put money into those kinds of comfort items when we're short on staff. But it's something as a community that we're like, we can send that message of love. You know, we got you, you know. So it helps even the teens. I've worked with teens who say they carry their blanket with them wherever they go because they said that was something that was theirs and that someone gave to them because they cared. And they said, I'll never part with it.
Well, obviously, we're not, I'm going to guess that most of us are not trained trauma-informed counselors, and we're not educators. What can we do for children that are at risk, kids in foster care, kids in poverty? What can we actually do to help them out?
So there are a number of ways, and thank you for asking that. One is raising awareness, learning more about the foster care system and the issues that children face. And trauma-informed it's a paradigm shift in understanding. So it's not so much asking when a child's acting out who's been through a traumatic experience, what's wrong with you? The question is, what happened and how can I help you? And it changes everything when you approach a child from that perspective. And what Kind to Kids does is, you know, we provide these resources and these educators to help them every step of the way. So funding is a huge help to us. We have a link on our website where you can donate at kindtokids.org. And we also have for the holidays. So the children, especially during COVID, they need those little things. I mean, it really does make a difference. You know, it's those toys that you get, the gifts we give teens, beautiful teen gifts and gift cards. So we have an Amazon wish list, and that link is also on our website, kindtokids.org, where if you wanted to order specific things, and we put on that wish list things that are in heavy demand, that we can, so that the items come mailed directly into our office and they go directly to the child. So whether it's financial support or the gifts, those are two big ways that you can help. And we have items like Hot Wheels for the boys and pull toys, little puppy pull toys, and Legos and Sparkle Diaries and all the trendy dolls. But you know, it's those are the things that like get the kids through, right?
And it keeps them even with their peers, and it gives them something to know that somebody cares.
Yes, because you don't want to go back to school and be that kid who didn't get anything, you know, and foster families are having a really tough time. They are stressed out even more so than stable families or than families who have stable children in their homes. They are maybe at financial risks. They may be out of jobs or working from home. And often it's in small spaces. You've got one computer in a public area and people are walking back and forth and the TV's on and somebody's trying to work and someone's, you know, trying to get the laptop to do their schoolwork. So it's a very, honestly, it's a recipe for tension and stress. So we need to try and alleviate those burdens as best we can. And that's what's great about the community. Oh my gosh, we get it done. We have so many people that reach out and help. It just warms your heart. We have churches, we have schools, we have businesses. They call and they say, "How can we help?" We're going to have a big holiday drive-through for foster families, and we're giving them all beautiful gifts. And you know, we work with a lot of different community partners, and that's what I love about, you know, this area in Delaware, because everybody like steps up and they work together. You
Well,
know, when times are tough, we help each other out.
do you want to give me some parting words there? And when can we still help for this Christmas, for this holiday season?
Yes, even more so this holiday season, the need is great and it's more intense. So if you can help, if you can reach out, anything it is a help. You know, $5, $10, whatever you can do goes to the children. And it helps us help them, you know, and this is probably it's the most difficult time that we've seen, the most difficult circumstances that the children are facing. So now more than ever, we need your help. And it goes to the kids, and you know, we see the light in their eyes, we see the joy and how much it helps. And just to let you know, you're making a difference in the life of a child.
And of course, come January, I'm sorry, come December 20, and come December 26th, these kids are still going to have needs, and they're still going to be looking for help from caring adults. If we go to your website, will we discover ways that we can get involved the rest of the year?
Yes, you can. We have, there's links to do a teen. If you have a whole group or a team that you want to do some kind of fundraising, you can also do it through your business or school. So we have a lot of different options there. And it's just a way to make a difference during a very difficult time, a time for a child who's endured abuse, instability, neglect. And you're giving them what they need to get through because those gifts, those supports are buffers to get them through this really difficult time. So we're very grateful for the support and we get it done. You know, it's beautiful to see how we help.
And of course, the first thing you said was, let's raise awareness. Go to your website. Find out what kids are going through. Learn about the foster care system. Learn about kids at risk. And then it gives you a way to get involved and to help out. And of course, the website, kindtokids.org. That's kindtokids.org for the Kind to Kids Foundation. And my guest today, it's president and founder, Carolyn Jones. Carolyn, thank you. This has been a morning.
Laura, it's always a joy to be with you. I'm grateful for the time that you spend to raise awareness for the kids that we serve.
A lot of kids are, you know, facing a rough time this time of year anyway, and with COVID and all of that. Let's be a little bit kinder this year. KindToKids.org is the website for Kind to Kids Foundation. Carolyn, thanks again.
Thanks, Laura.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.
Hi, I'm Ice-T. As a veteran, I know that for many former servicemen and women, the battle doesn't always end when they come home. Every day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, and sadly, 20 take their own lives. When nothing else helps, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, rescues animals in need of forever homes and trains them to become free, life-saving service dogs for our nation's veterans. If you're a veteran, or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program. Let's give our veterans a fighting chance.
The police called after midnight when they caught our son at a drinking party. It was a real wake-up call. My wife and I are really worried. We don't know if our son has a serious problem or if he's just hanging around with the wrong crowd. How do we know what to do? The police officer who brought our son home suggested we try Al-Anon family groups. He said it might help to hear how other parents are dealing with alcohol problems. I didn't want to go to an Al-Anon meeting. I didn't want anyone to think we had problems like that. And I didn't think our son's problem was that bad. When I decided to give Al-Anon a try, I found it was a safe place that keeps your problems private. It was very helpful. Are you troubled by someone else's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.